Hello and welcome to the Lovosho podcast. My name is Swaram and I'm the host. Thanks for tuning in and being here. Today our guest is Lila Itzler and we are going to talk about Mystic Rose. Lila will reveal the secrets behind how Mystic Rose came about, why Osho chose her to lead Mystic Rose and develop a training to teach others how to conduct Mystic Rose. I'm so excited to have Lila on the show. Lila met Osho 45 years ago and she was a massage and energy healer before dedicating her life to spreading Mystic Rose and the other meditative therapies. Lila has offered these groups to thousands of people worldwide over the past 28 years. I hope you enjoyed the show with Lila. Lila, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And thank you for making this possible.
To start, tell us a bit about your background before meeting Osho.
I was born in South Africa, and I grew up there, and I married and had two children. Well, they're grown-ups now. We left South Africa finally because I did not want my children educated in a racist society. And so we moved to England in 1972. And there we were in a very new environment, very much freer, and that was wonderful. Then we arrived at the end of 72, and within a month of arriving in London, I came in contact with a man who was an acupuncturist called Shyam Singha. He was a sannyasin, just newly returned from Bombay, where I was staying at that time. He said, "I want you to go and talk to this woman and go and do this two-week course." And he said, it's a meditation. I had no idea what meditation was. It was an image of a man with a big orange turban and a red mark on his forehead, and that was about it. So I said, "I don't know anything about meditation." He said, in his Indian accent, "Very good. Just that's how it should be." And so off I went, and there was Veena. She was running the center and a beautiful, also South African woman. And so we began to do dynamic. And in the center, there was this photograph of Osho at that time called Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh, which took me a long time to be able to even say it properly. Beautiful, beautiful eyes, something wonderful. The dynamic began to change my energy. I think very much, and I teach very much in terms of energy. I don't think in terms of therapy language much. I talk in energy terms. And I started to, from a very controlled and inhibited background, began to feel this kind of something emerging through doing the dynamic. And then eventually I got to the point where in 1975, I decided that I would take a little holiday on my own, leave my family in London, my husband and my two children, and I would go to see Osho because I had taken sannyas in London by mail. And the strange thing was about my name. In one of these books, there were three particular, only a few Hindi words, Satchitanand, Samadhi, Satori, and life is just a lila. It's just the cosmic play. Every time I read that particular phrase, something would happen inside of me. Just as like, oh, God, that sounds so wonderful, you know, because I was a bit of a serious lady at that time. So there we go. And then I wrote to Osho and I got the name Ma Prem Lila, and I could not believe it. I could not believe that I had got this name. It was very impressive. It was a mystery.
I interviewed Veena in episode 3 of this podcast, and she told us the story of how she opened the first Osho Meditation Center, and she said that Osho told her, "Go to London because my people are there and I'll send you the people." And I believe you are one of those who are Osho's people arriving to him. Let's jump to the main part of the story today, because you are famous for being the person who has received from Osho the gift of Mystic Rose. First of all, can you explain briefly what Mystic Rose is? And then I would like to hear from you the story of how Mystic Rose came about.
Okay. Well, just briefly, Mystic Rose is a three-week process, which is divided into three parts. The first part is that we laugh in a group, of course, for 3 hours every day. The second week is that we cry together for 3 hours every day. And the last week is known as the Watcher on the Hills. And that is, of course, silence and meditation. So that very briefly is the structure. In fact, it originally, when Osho created it, it was just 2 weeks, the laughter and the crying. And then we noticed that people, well, including us, of course, because we were facilitating it, were a bit too open and vulnerable at the end of the crying to just let it, leave it there. So I sent a note into Osho, and I said, can we add a few days of meditation just so that people could integrate? And then the third week was then added. Osho said, all right, we add another week, and it will be known as the Watch on the Hills.
So Mystic Rose was designed by Osho, and then you, together with other few people at the time, were kind of guinea pigs. He experimented on you, and then you had some interactions with Osho, and then eventually the whole process and structure of the Mystic Rose came about. Can you talk us a little bit more about how that happened?
Okay. So there's a bit of a story preceding how I got Mystic Rose. I was running, coordinating the group department in what we call Pune 2. One day, Neelam, who was the secretary for the Indian friends that came to the ashram, called me very early in the morning, and she said, come, you're going to massage Osho. I thought she was kidding. And I said, don't make a joke like that, sort of look on my face. And she said, come on, because I had been a massage therapist for many years before, and I had been teaching massage and energy work in the massage training in Pune over the years. Okay, so in we go, and a series of sessions began at that time. And they were about 2 hours. They were 2 hours every morning for quite a long period. Then one day, Anando, Osho's secretary at that time, phoned me up. I thought to myself, I wonder what she's up to. There was a bit of a mystery in her voice. So I get to Lao Tzu Gate, and there's Anando standing with two pages of typed up notes. And I read the few basic instructions of what Osho has created, the 2 weeks. There'll be a week of laughter, and he describes that it'll be very good for you and a few other things, and then also crying. And one or two instructions like, is to be no crying in the first week and no laughing in the second week. And so when she handed it to me, I looked at her and I said, why me? Because I wasn't a therapist, and this was, I wasn't running any meditations in the ashram at that time. And anyway, the story came later to me that because I was the coordinator of the group department, they had gone through the list of people, but all the therapists were busy. And so she said, well, I'll ask Leela, meaning for my suggestion, because group department, see? So then Osho said, Leela, the one who gave me the massage? She said, yes. He said, she can do it. That's how I got Mystic Rose. And then what came after that was a very, I didn't have a clue, I just looked at this, and I went into the office and I looked at my friends and I said, listen to this. And I read them what it is. And we were all like, wow, that sounds quite amazing. And it was so unusual. I decided I better do a rehearsal before I went into the first group. So I got together friends and people from the ashram, and we did a two-night rehearsal of letting people experience what it would be like so that I'd have some idea what would happen. After discourse, we all gathered in Radha Hall, about 40 people, and I just walked in and I said, well, it was only on laughter. It wasn't any crying at that point. I just wanted to see the dynamic of the group. And it was spectacular. It was the biggest let-go I've ever seen of many people who walked around very serious, but it was mind-blowing. So that was it. And the only way I introduced it was, all I was capable of saying was, Osha said we should laugh, so let's laugh. I had a one-sentence introduction. And, of course, it was hilarious. It was a bit wild. And then what I did, as time went by, slowly the third week was added, I would send the odd question into Osho. If I had a question about what was happening, like there was a lot of very strong interaction, and basically Osho said, no, there's not to be interaction, which I now allow a little in the first day or two, because people in the ashram were so already tuned in, whereas when you're out in the world, they need a little day or so to get into the vibe, whereas we were in it. We were soaked in it in the ashram. It's quite different. So slowly the very strong interaction faded. And if I had any questions at all, which were the whole time that I did Mystic Rose, I never received any instruction from Osho directly, like, do it this way, do it that way. He left it completely up to me. But I sensed that there was guidance within me a lot of the time. And so any question I had, usually his answer was, you're doing fine, one thing or another. There was not much instruction at all. And then that's how it developed.
Thank you so much, Lila. And this, the mystery of how Mystic Rose was born is revealed. And it sounds like accidental, but we all know that it wasn't at all. Anything with a master and with Osho is never accidental. So it's beautiful. And you mentioned that at the time when you started Mystic Rose, you were not a therapist. Many people nowadays in the world of Osho are interested in therapy groups, especially in the West, whereas in the East, there is more focus on meditation. And it seems to me that Mystic Rose is somehow in between the two worlds. So what's your view on how therapy and meditation can be combined to help people?
Okay, so what happened shortly after this last thing that I mentioned, Osho actually then introduced in Buddha Hall, the Mystic Rose. This is in Yahoo, the Mystic Rose number 30, where actually Osho introduces it. So if people want to read his words on what the first 2 weeks were about, he introduced the first 2 weeks. He then mentioned in the hall, I have a little bit of an introduction, and in the course he said, I have chosen Lila, one of my therapists, so Shazam, I'm one of his therapists, to create a meditative therapy. And so at that time, before Osho left the body, I'll just quickly mention that there was Mystic Rose, No Mind, and Born Again. These three meditations were, for whatever reason, we know the mystery, of course, were given to me as to run and to create. And then a little later he mentioned, and Lila will be in charge of it. And so somehow it was set that this is when my life changed dramatically. it was a shock because I didn't realize he was going to mention it in discourse, but there it was. So the thing with meditative therapy is that Osho always stressed that therapy was the clearing of the garden. It was preparing the ground, but that essentially we come to meditation because meditation is the medicine we need. And so in these beautiful processes that he created for us before he left his body, there's clearly a distinction between. If you think about Mystic Rose, for instance, it's not something that you do with the mind. You're not going into your story. You're not dealing with the issues of the problems. It doesn't go through the mind. There's no talking at all for the 3 hours. for 3 weeks you're in a process where you're not dealing with it on a cerebral level. And everything that happens through the essential energy of laughter, which is what we're born with, and the essential energy of our tears, which we are born with. If you look at young children today, well, at any time, they come with this. They're full of joy. They're full of laughter. They're full of their innocence. But also they'll cry at the drop of a hat if that's what's needed. And this quality is so basic in us. It's the energy generator and the releaser. So it's without a word being spoken, except me doing the introduction, which really helps people to understand how to do the process for themselves. And this has become quite a fine art to explain to people that through your own energy, not through cerebral, not through talking, but by using the power of your energy, laughing for 3 hours is very, very dynamic. It's not like he, he, he. It's full on deep, abandoned laughter. So what happens in the 3 hours of laughter, for instance, energy blocks, you know, the problems, the things that become stuck in our energy from early childhood, the repressions, the anxieties, the fears, the grief, the pain, the sadness, all of the rocks, say, that are blocking the flow of energy, are become, as it happens also, but with dynamic, this also happens. But in these processes, particularly Mystic Rose, the force of laughter, the power of laughter, begins to dislodge. If you think of this enormous flow of energy that's going through your system for 3 hours, I mean, people are really, it's incredibly strong and beautiful. But what releases, you don't hear it, you don't see it, but you feel it.
And in this context of what you are describing, do you consider yourself a therapist or a meditation teacher?
I'm a meditation teacher. I'm not a therapist. I'm definitely more an Eastern than a Western. Of that there's no doubt now. Because out of this process, what do you come to? When you've laughed for 3 weeks and you've sobbed your heart out for 3 weeks and got rid of so much sadness and heaviness and distress and anxiety out of your system, and you suddenly melt into the third week. I mean, people have said they've never experienced meditation like they have after these 2 weeks of clearing and expansion, and your whole perception changes. You don't look at life the same. You've gone somewhere else. You know what I think Mystic Rose is like getting into a rocket ship, because when you meditate, it takes a few years and you have to meditate and whatever, you know, do some more groups, do some more meditation. But if you want an accelerated experience, you do Mystic Rose. Now, for 16 years, I did this every single time as a participant. So for the first 16 years that I ran this process, which I've now run for 30 years, I was fully in the process myself. So I'm not apart from the process. It's in me. So I know when I'm telling somebody something, and from all the feedback I get from people, that this is what goes on inside. It's like a tremendous acceleration, and it's so healing and deeply transformative, and you haven't said a word.
I have a question from my partner, Chetna. She describes Mystic Rose as a heart surgery, and she says that the operation is not over at the end of the 3 weeks, but it continued for a whole year. Is that how it works in your experience with other people?
Exactly. Absolutely right, Chetna. It is because it's within your energy and it's gone through your cells. Your very cells are changed. Your whole demeanor's changed. People come out of it and they start making huge life changes. It's as if all the courage they didn't have, they suddenly have. It's as if all the spontaneity they didn't have is suddenly there. All the creativity they didn't dare do. It's as if there's something that is just released through getting rid of the weight and the fear and the anxiety that holds us so down. And it goes on. And that's, I tell you something, so many people who have done Mystic Rose with me and with other people, there are many people running it around the world, go back year after year because it's as if you're peeling the layers of an onion. Every time you do it, it's like you get bigger and bigger and wider and more joyful to your being and less fear is there. And you see life through the eyes of humor. And how often didn't Osho just stress that a serious meditator, you know, is on the wrong path. In fact, he said that seriousness is the cancer of the soul. And I can see this. I know this. The interesting thing is that with laughter, when you're in the flow of laughter and something pops up from inside you, a memory or something like that, it can't get a grip like it can in seriousness because you're busy with the laughter. But suddenly you see yourself in a situation where, my God, what did I think I was doing? Vroom, and it's gone. It gets sort of sucked out into the ethers, and there it is. You know, it's a totally different kind of experience of releasing and transforming.
Personally, I never done Mystic Rose, and I feel a little bit scared, I must say, I must confess to you. To me, it's a bit of a daunting situation to lock myself in a room and laugh and cry for 3 hours every day for a whole week and altogether 3 weeks. And so yeah. What would be your invitation for someone like me who shares the same worries?
Okay, so usually I deal with that before we even begin the group. I ask people, how many of you have never done the group before? So, of course, you know, quite a few hands go up because always there are people that are in the group that have done it before. So I know that there's a tremendous support for people who are already tuned in, so to speak, to Mystic Rose. You tune in. It's into another vibe completely. And I say, now, I know that many of you, show of hands, are thinking, how the hell am I going to laugh for 3 hours, right? To me, it seemed ridiculous. How was I going to laugh for 3 hours at nothing in particular? We don't have any props. We don't tell any jokes. We just dance for 5 minutes, you know, get the energy moving, shout Yahoo or whatever, jump up and down for a few seconds, and then straight into the laughter. And that's why it's called Mystic, because it works. And there's how one can explain the collective unconscious that happens in the room. And it's much easier to do it in a group than on your own. That's for sure. So that's why when you come into the group, of course that question is there. We had it in the beginning, and somehow I was just amazed. I mean, I've always had a pretty good sense of humor. For me, it wasn't that difficult. But there are people that do experience it quite difficult. Children that have been incredibly repressed or made afraid of expression, they take a little longer. Everybody does it for themselves. There's no right way to do it. You have to find your path into this laughter. And I'm there as the sort of caretaker, the supporter, the encourager, and the person to tell you how you can best do this process for yourself. And I keep it really simple. I don't bring any therapy or any other ideas. I've kept Mystic Rose as simple and as clear as possible for people so that they can just not be too cluttered in the mind. I do tell them, of course, how to do this. And it's understandable that you would be nervous. I mean, we didn't know what was going to happen the first time, but it works. That's all I can say. It works.
Most of the people who have done Mystic Rose, they say that it's been the most powerful and transformative experience they've had in their life. So I believe after talking to you now, I am I'm sold to the idea. And if I had to choose to do it, I would probably do it with you.
Yes. Well, don't leave it too long. I'm not so young anymore.
Okay. I'll look at the calendar and book it. So, Lila, Mystic Rose is a very popular meditative therapy group in the world of Osho, and it's offered in many meditation centers around the world. And I know you also give trainings and you teach people how to run the Mystic Rose group. How important is for someone who wants to lead a Mystic Rose therapy group to receive proper training? And do you think there is anything essentially from Osho that is missing in some of the Mystic Rose groups around today?
Unfortunately, I have to say yes. Now, let me just backtrack a little bit and explain how this happened. When I was running and then the few friends who were doing it, we would meet regularly so that we were very connected all the time. As it was developing, everyone who was also doing it in the ashram, because I was running the group department, okay, this was my daily schedule. I was doing one for the workers at 6 in the morning, 6 till 9. 10 o'clock I would go in and do it for the public, and then I would go after lunch and run the group department, which was a huge department, okay? So yours truly was on a kind of Gurdjieff trip. I didn't have time to think. And I remember on some occasions I was crying in the morning in the workers, and then I had to go in at 10 o'clock and do the laughing with little big piggy eyes from crying in the morning. And I just had to put my mind aside time after time after time and just do it. Don't use every moment. That was kind of how I was talking to myself. And then what happened was that some people who had just done one Mystic Rose in Pune in the very early days went back to their country and began running Mystic Rose, and many things went wrong. We started getting a lot of complaints from people who had participated with someone who really had no idea how to work with people. So that was what actually, then I sent a letter into Osho explaining what had happened. And he said, he sent his answer, you are to create training for Mystic Rose and for Born Again and for No Mind. So not only was I facilitating these three and running the group department, but now I had to create trainings. And I thought to myself, how do I train somebody to run this group? I didn't have any information. You know what I mean? What do I say in a training? I didn't know enough. But somehow I managed. I started running a training in the afternoons. So we would do the group in the morning and then the afternoon between 2 and 4 before Kundalini for 2 hours, and then 5 afternoons of each week. I would offer the training. And then all I could do was share my experience. I had nothing else. I had nothing else to fill them. But slowly but surely over the years, the training got better. I got more insightful. I had more information to impart. And so the trainings were to prevent people who had not done the training from running Mystic Rose. It was quite clear that Osho wanted people to run it who had been properly trained. Now, unfortunately, we do have our egos, and some people who maybe were primal therapists or somebody who whose ego got a big hit on being now a therapist, which they weren't before, a meditative therapist because they'd done the training, would run the group but pressure people. Push them during the group, which is the last thing you want to do with people when you're opening and creating an environment of allowing, of permission. It's pure heart work. It's through the heart that you transform. There needs to be no pressure. And so what happened on a few occasions is that these people would then run the Mystic Rose in the context of their kind of therapy, or in the context of their kind of attitude that you must cathart, you must, and pushing. And, I mean, I did what I could, you know, but I suppose this is inevitable. And this has happened, yes.
Yes, as you say, I guess it's inevitable, but we are very fortunate that you are still here with us and you travel the world, you give the training, so everyone who is interested in learning Mystic Rose from the person who has been
instructed directly from Osho, there is a chance. I hope everyone who is listening to this podcast interested in Mystic Rose can come to you and get in touch with you.
It's such a beautiful thing to share. I am so happy when I have more people who are willing to share it in the world.
After Osho left the body, you started going around to spread this powerful method for inner transformation. Do you do this for yourself, for others, or for Osho?
All three, because the process has been my greatest growth, and it is my greatest gift to do it for other people. And I do it because it's the greatest gift that he has given to humanity today. So all three are there. I don't do it just for me. I mean, you know, here comes Miss Famous Mystic Rose Mama. No. I mean, it's a humbling process to do. It humanizes you. And what it does for me when I'm in there, then I have an opportunity to sit with a crowd of people and just open my heart and my love and my compassion and my understanding and my empathy. You have to have empathy if you're going to go to the deepest pain with people. You have to love, want them, they need to feel that support. They need to know that you've been there and know it. It is a small measure of my gratitude to Osho. I'm so happy that I have this to share because your gratitude is so enormous and there's no way you can show it. I remember having that before I ever got Mystic Rose, that I always felt like, how can I express my gratitude? I was, you know, distraught that I had no way to just say, you know, thank cosmic thank you. So to your answer, all three.
I really feel your gratitude towards Osho and your love, and it's such a beautiful gift that you're sharing with the world. And in fact, on this note, where people can find you if they want to get to know more about you and the work you do?
I have a Facebook page. I have a website. And if you wanted to look at the website, it's mysticrosemeditation.com.
Loud and clear. And I'll link your website to the notes of this show.
And I have a Facebook page, Leela Itzler. And I'm happy. I'm always happy. I have so many friends all over the world. And the connection with people who've done Mystic Rose with me is always there. And I mean, they express their gratitude to me, but I know that somebody has to be there because Osho's not there to physically. But so it's hard to describe, you know, to have been given such an enormous opportunity with my life. I've been doing this now for 30 years with thousands of people in many countries around the world. And I just hope that I'm strong enough and live a bit longer that I can just keep doing this because it's what gives my life meaning. When I am not doing Mystic Rose, I live here in Australia. I live a very quiet, simple life. I have much company. I'm a bit of a hermit. So my life is very gentle and exciting, I think. It's the word.
What are your current projects? Where are you traveling to bring Mystic Rose to people?
So this year, very soon, I go to Corfu, to a little town called Arilas, which is actually jam-packed with lots of lovely old friends, sannyasin friends, and I do a Mystic Rose there, but that group is now full. And then I am going for the first time, I've been invited to come to China and do a Mystic Rose in a place called Shenzhen, which is near Hong Kong, but on the Chinese side. So that will be my first visit to China, and I have no idea. I walk in blind, so to speak. So that's the first time. And then, of course, next year, I'm now looking for premises for a very big group. I wanted to have at least 45, 50 people in a Mystic Rose and training. I always do the training. I've always done the training. So I'm participant, I'm facilitator, and training in the three wrapped up into one every time I do Mystic Rose. And I've done over 90 now in the last 30 years. So I'm Mystic Rosed out. Or Mystic Rosed in. as opposed to out. Yes. It is the biggest joy. I can't express how happy I am and joyous when people come and do this process, and I see their eyes at the end of it, and I know. And I tell them, when you leave this place, you're going to be shocked, because quite often people do it with me as a residential. You know, they stay there, they live there, and then they go back to their life. And that's when it really hits home, that, wow, what's happened? Because their perception has changed. A lot of things have shifted, and they haven't said a word. It's mysterious, and it's the most beautiful, pure energy work you can imagine. Wonderful.
So we are heading towards the end of the show. I've got three final questions for you. What's your morning routine? How does your morning look like in the first couple of hours?
Oh, lovely. Well, I'm a morning person. I get up when it's still dark. I wake up at about 4:30 in the morning. I only need 6 hours sleep at the most. I get up at 4:30. I have a few drinks of water. I have a cup of tea. I sit down and check my emails and Facebook. But my office looks out over the garden and over the countryside where I live. So every morning, if the sky is clear, I wait for the sunrise. I am a sunrise person. I love sunrise and listening to the birds waking up. That's the best time in the day for me, and that I look forward to. And I'm quite routine, actually. It's what I do every day.
Okay. Second question is, what's your favorite meditation and why?
What do you think? I don't do a favorite meditation. Meditation has become everything I do. I can sit and have my mind turning, but I can also make myself a cup of tea and be present. I can be in the shower and be present. So there comes a time, you know, I've been with Osho 45 years. So there comes a time where there's not, I feel, this is my opinion, for me, that sitting happens spontaneously, but there's also, you need to integrate it into everything you do. You need to be present, not only when you're sitting on your bum, but when you're walking, when you're talking, when you're interacting, when you're just silently cleaning your house, brushing your teeth, taking a moment. Everything needs to be in the atmosphere of presence. That's what Osho's been saying. And that's what I'm very keen on explaining to people, is how to integrate the atmosphere of meditation, which is not a serious thing, obviously, not with Osho at least. And if you lack the quality of joy and laughter, he's always said the serious path is not a good one. I'm not saying I have everyday joys. I have issues come through, little things, nothing enormous anymore, because there's more understanding, there's more insight. It's also, you know, I've grown up a bit, grown up and grown in. So I don't have many issues to deal with, but meditation is something that needs to be part of you as you melt, as we surrender, as we become part of, realize what we are, the absolute incredible magic of what we are part of.
Last question for you. You lead the Osho experiment. You were one of the pioneers in this movement of creating a new man, Zorba the Buddha. What does it mean to you personally to be with Osho today in 2018?
Just gratitude. I don't know what else to say. I have photographs of Osho around my home. Osho is not in the body, but the atmosphere is there. Quite amazingly, if I ask a question or have something that I need clarifying, it seems to, and I know this from many sannyasins, somehow something happens and there you're presented with some clarity. Being with Osho is not about being with a person so much as being with a quality of such love and such light, such incredible awareness. To be around an enlightened being, to have had those years with Osho, the atmosphere that he creates is where we flower. Either we flower or we don't. Either we absorb on a deeper level or we try to be cerebral and whatever. I'm just filled with gratitude beyond words. And that's what it's like for me even today. Unbelievable, overwhelming, insanely wonderful gratitude that I have had a life with such a beautiful being.
Well, that's amazing. And I feel even for me or for people who have not met Osho in the body, somehow that kind of magic you described before still happens. You know, so many times I had a question and then accidentally I open a book or I put an Osho discourse and the answer comes. Or through life events, situation happen, and his connection with Osho, even though he's not in the body, even though I never met him and millions of others have not met him, but still possible to connect. That's my experience, and it's so beautiful to hear you saying it. Thank you for that. Okay, Lila, well, that's the end of the show. Thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure talking to you, and I've learned a lot, and you revealed some of the secrets behind the Mystic Rose, and you are very articulate, and you explain things in a very beautiful way, and you sold me the concept and the idea of Mystic Rose, so I think now I need to book my training with you. Thank you so much, and I look forward to meeting you in person and doing the Mystic Rose with you.
Yes, and may I just thank you for taking up this task that you have done, because I find it such a beautiful, you're very clear, you stick to the point, and it's very beautiful, and it will be very much appreciated by so many people that you offer. For something so personal, so intimate, to do with people who've loved and been around Osho, to share this with them. And may I just say thank you very much from the bottom of my heart.
It's mutual, and I really want to thank you and other people like you who have been so close to Osho. And for me, it's so valuable that you're still here and you can share the energy, this Osho, not just as a person, but you imbibe this energy and you can share it.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Thank you, Lila. Wonderful. Thank you so much. That's the end.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you enjoyed the show, help us to reach out to more people by rating this podcast and leaving a review on iTunes. We would really appreciate that, and it would help us spread the word even further. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you on the next show.